This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Use this one. I can start now.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters, I'm again thankful and honored to be here tonight to speak to you for a few moments. Before I speak, I want to say a word or two about this illustrious Imam, Imam Kashif. Allah is my witness, I love him so much. And I want to let you know, if you give him any difficulty, I'm going to take him to bring him to New York. No, I'm serious. Imam, you let me know. If they don't treat you right, you better treat him good. Because you got a good imam. And we need some imams. You know, I'm mad at Dallas, Texas, because they want to bring all the imams here. That's not right. Really, that's not right. Man. Really, that's bad. And they actually tried to get me. I said, not going to happen. I want to speak to you tonight for a few minutes about attitude. As you can hear from my khutbah, I am deeply concerned about our future, our youth. I am an optimistic person by nature. I have a lot of hope, but also I know reality. Imam, I have a doctor. My doctor is very positive. So whenever I just had my yearly examination, he said, Siraj, your blood pressure's good. Your cholesterol's good. And you know, he went on and on. He makes me feel really good. Wallahi, my doctor, he makes me feel really good. But I'm like this, doctor, give it to me straight. I don't know about you. I'd rather you tell me. Tell me it's okay. If it's not good news, tell me so I can fix it, right? So that's the way I am. Allah blessed me to make Umrah a couple of weeks ago. And one of the brothers whom I love, a scholar, Muhammad Saleh, he told me of a parent came to him complaining about their child. And he wouldn't make salat, he doesn't fast, he doesn't do any of the things that Muslims do. So the Imam said, I'll speak to him. And he spoke to the young man. And he said, don't you believe? Yeah, I believe. But why are you not practicing? He said, Imam, what I'm going to do is right before I die, I'm going to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So this is what I want to talk about, this statement that the young man made. Over the years, I found out from some of the youth, this is the attitude. I'm going to go now and have my fun. Later on, when I get older, I'm going to come back to the deen. I'm going to practice. You may have some of that in your family, some of your children, you may see them. They in and out of Islam. I want to talk about that mentality. Allah mentions in Quran, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. You better know that Allah is strong in punishment on one hand, but He's forgiving and merciful on another. So I feel, as a Muslim, a kind of ambivalence. Yes, I'm hopeful that I go to Jannah. I'm very hopeful, but I am frightened of the hellfire. I don't know about you, how you feel about it. I get nervous. I don't think I got it made. As much as I do, as many places I go, as many talks as I give, many fundraisers that I give, I don't think, wallahi, I don't think I got it made. And so what I want to talk about tonight is no matter how much good you do, never feel complacent. Always feel nervous. And I'm going to give you an example. Amr ibn al-As was on his deathbed. And he turned away from the people and faced the wall, and he started crying, uncontrollably crying. And his son, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhuma, he tried to console his father and remind him of all the good that he did. So his father turned around and he faced the people and said, I have been through three phases in my life. Phase number one, I hated Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there's no one on earth that I hated more than him. If I could have, I would have killed him. If you remember, Amr ibn al-As fought in the battle of Uhud against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, had I died then, for sure I would have been in the hellfire. But Allah guided me to Islam. And I went to the Prophet alayhi salat wa salam. I said, hold out your hand. And the Prophet stretched out his hand. He's going to take bay'ah. And when the Prophet alayhi salat wa salam reached out to take his hand, he pulled it back. And the Prophet asked him, why you pull back? He said, I want to become Muslim with condition. The Prophet said, what condition? That I be forgiven my sins. And the Lady Salat wa Salam said, don't you know that when you become Muslim, Allah forgive you all your past sins. When you make Hajj, Allah forgive you all your past sins. When you make Hijra, Allah forgive you all of your sins. So he stretched forth his hand, and alhamdulillah, he became Muslim. He said, had I died at that moment, I would have been reasonably sure that I've gone to Jannah. Then he said, but then the third stage, there's been things. And I know what he's talking about. Maybe inshallah in a few minutes. By the way, this is a short talk. This is a very, very short talk. I'd be, what time, 8:05? I'd be shocked that if I'm not finished by 12 midnight, I'll be shocked. What? What? That's not bad, right? See, the funny thing about it, Imam, they're laughing. When they look up and it's 12 midnight, they say, oh, he was serious. So, this is the deal. The Prophet alayhi salat wa salam said, Ashra fil Jannah. This famous hadith where he mentioned 10 sahaba in one hadith going to Jannah. It's called Ashra al-Ashra Mubashireen. These are the 10 promised Jannah while they're alive. Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman, Ali, Talha, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and so forth. These are the 10 sahaba. I ask you a question. What if you knew for sure, no doubt about it, that you will go to Jannah, for sure. No matter what you did, you guaranteed Jannah. How would you feel? I got it made. How would you feel? Would you do less? You say no. You sure? Or would you do more? Let's see. My thesis tonight is that you can't tell. You can't. Sheikh, I like sports. I like basketball. In fact, I'm letting you know publicly, I challenged the Imam to basketball. Yes, me and the Imam. But because I love him so much, I'm not going to let anyone watch. I don't want you to see dhulm. Imam, you know Imam Suhaib Webb? You know him, right? We were in Connecticut. Hikna conference. And the brothers told me every session, Imam Suhaib, before he gave his lecture, he told the people what he's going to do to Imam Siraj on the basketball court. So what they did, they made a tape of me challenging him to a game of basketball, and they played it before his lecture. So then he said, Imam, meet me 12 midnight at the basketball court. I came. I'm from New York. You can't frighten me. So I had my sneakers on, 12 midnight. Imam, he didn't show up. So 1 o'clock, I'm going to go back to my room. So I'm starting to go, and here he come with a Boston Celtics uniform on. That's disrespect. Really. So now I have to hurt him. You can tell him I said this, by the way. So we played the game, me and him. It's on tape. And the only way I can describe what I did to him, when I finished, I had to make tawbah to Allah. Why you do that to the sheikh? So sheikh, there'll be no witnesses. So how would you act? The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, "Khairu ummati qarni, thumma ladina yalunuhum, thumma ladina yalunuhum." The best of my ummah is my generation, and then the generation that follows it, and then the generations that follows it. We ain't got no guarantee. Allah didn't give us personally a guarantee. He didn't call you by name, like the Prophet called them by name. The most striking example is the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that one night, Qiyamul Layl, the Prophet, he prayed so long that his feet began to crack. And she asks a question that all of us would ask. Ya Rasulullah, lima tasnu hadha? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Oh Prophet, why do you do that? Why are you doing all of this when Allah has already forgiven you your past sins and your future sins? Think about that. We make sin every day. Starting with who? Starting with the first man, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. People think that Allah gave him the commandment, don't eat from the tree. This is what people think. Allah did something more profound than this. Let's see what Allah said. قُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَقُلَا مِنْهَا رَغْدًا حَيْتُ شِتُّمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ السَّجَّرَةَ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. He didn't say just don't eat from the tree. He said don't even go near the tree. And the key with most of us is that we disobey that first thing about going near. La taqrabu zina. Not just don't commit zina, don't go near it. I want to see how many of us have the strength to say to the imam, Imam, here's my phone. You go to the history. And you see where I'm going. What sites do I go in? This thing here, wallahi, is great. I do a lot of research with this. With my iPad and all of that. It's good if you use it for good. Television is neither good nor bad. It's what you do with it. There are good things in TV, excellent things that you can watch, and then there are things that's bad. It's like money. Money is neither good nor bad. It's what you do with it. You can take money and build a masjid. You can build a library, or you can use money to buy khamr or so forth and so on. So my question is, if you were assured that you're going to go to Jannah, what would you do? Let's see. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, I will come on Yom Al-Qiyamah to the Babul Jannah, to the gate of Jannah, and ask to open up, knock at the gate of Jannah. And the angel, the guardian of the Jannah, will say, Man anta, who are you? Qala kultu, I will say, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the angel will say, because of you, I have been commanded not to let anyone in before you. Nobody going in the Jannah before the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. Not only is he going, ain't nobody going ahead of him. This is what Allah has blessed him with. And despite of all of that, he's the best of us. He didn't slack up at all in anything. We ask people for money. We ask people for money to build masjids. We ask for people for money to maintain the masjid. And there's some people with money in their pocket and they won't give. Because they feel, I've given in the past. Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said, مَا سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ شَيْءٍ فَقَالَ لَا. Never was the Prophet asked and he said no. He never said no. So when you see the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, he's always there on the front line, everywhere. He even said that, I would love to fight in the way of Allah and be slain and then resurrected again and slain again and then be resurrected again and slain again in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He fears Allah more than us. You mean you fear the hellfire? You fear Allah going to punish you and you know you going to Jannah and you the first one to go to the gate of Jannah? In spite of that, he still kept on working, worshiping, and doing everything. What about us? We ain't got no guarantee. Let me talk about this young man. I was at Reagan Airport a couple years ago. At my gate, US Air was doing the month of Ramadan. And I'm sitting down at my gate reading the Quran. And a man, he comes to me and says, excuse me, sir, is that the Quran you're reading? I said, yes. He said, I used to read the Quran. And then he said, is this the month of Ramadan? I said, yes. Are you fasting? I said, yes. He said, I used to fast. And then he said, I used to be a Muslim. And when he said that, I closed my book. And I started to talk to him because I knew he needed someone to talk to. And we spoke, and I said to him, what happened? You used to be a Muslim, what happened? He said, I became angry at God. You became angry at God? He said, yes, so I'm talking to him. So then they make the announcement, my plane is about to board. So I get up. I said, sir, I have to go now because my plane is about to be boarding now. He said, I work in this airline and that plane cannot move until I tell it to move, sit down. I said, yes, sir. The reason I sat down is because I know he needed to talk. I think that day he came back to Allah, Allah knows best. Just talking to him, you know, seeing his response, and you never know. This is the thing I want to say. This is the point I want to leave with you. If Allah is so magnanimous, he's so generous, that he give us this gift, why should we become complacent? I give you an idea. I'm going to give more. I'm going to give more credence a little bit to what that young man said. A couple of things. Remember, my thesis is you can't tell everybody everything. Some people can't handle it. Imam, some people in baseball, I know some of them, everybody wants this big contract. They want to sign a contract for $300 million, you know, 10 years, stuff like that. Some people, you can't give them big contracts like that because the moment you do, they sit down. Because now they got what they wanted, they got their big contract, and they sit down. Likewise, people, many of them, you get a big contract of Jannah. Some will sit down. I got it made. A couple of things. The Prophet alayhi salat wa salam said, من يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله حرم الله عليه النار. What? Whoever bears witness that there's no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, Allah has made haram for them the fire. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Another hadith, whoever dies, لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة, they go to Jannah. And the more you read these kinds of hadith, the more you say, The Prophet alayhi salat wa salam said, Jibril alayhi salam said to me, whoever says La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Allah will give him Jannah. Qultu, I said to Jibril, وَإِنْ زَنَاهُ وَإِنْ سَرَقَ, even if they committed zina, even if they committed adultery, even if they committed fornication, even if they stole. And Jibril said, إِنْ زَنَاهُ وَإِنْ سَرَقَ, even if they committed zina, and if they committed and they stole. So when the Prophet told this to Abu Dharr, Abu Dharr asked the same question. Even if they committed adultery, even if they stole? And the Prophet said, yes. He said it again. He said it three times. And the fourth time, the Prophet said, despite Abu Dharr. And Abu Dharr went on saying, despite Abu Dharr. Meaning that you can't imagine. One more. I can give you a million of them. Can I give you a couple of more? Huh? You got time, man? It's Friday night, right? This is your night. What you do Friday night? I want to know what you all do Friday night. Listen to this one. So, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Mu'adh is riding behind the Prophet. I think one hadith said a donkey. And the Prophet said, Ya Mu'adh, do you know atadri mahaqullah ala ibadi? Do you know what right Allah has over his slaves and what right the slaves have over Allah? Mu'adh said, Allah and his messenger know best. He says, Allah's right over his slave that he is to be worshipped, none to worship besides him. And then listen to what he said. And the slave's right over Allah is that if they worship him and none but him, Allah will not punish him. What? You know what Mu'adh said? SubhanAllah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, should I not inform the people about this? The Prophet said, no, because they will depend upon that. You can't tell everybody everything. And then it said that Abu Dharr did not repeat that until he was about to die. Because now he has to tell it. And the Prophet ﷺ knew that he would say it, But he will say it in a time when people are grown up enough so that they can handle it. Some people can't handle it. I need one more. You know, I love the companions, all of them. My favorite two companions, I bet you, I want you to think about your favorite three companions. Everybody put in their mind three companions. How many of you included Abu Bakr? Raise your hand. Allah, look at that. Look at that. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. How many included in the three Umar? Allah, look at that. Iman, look. I thought so. You know, Umar, I love him, really. That's my man. But he makes me nervous. The more you read about Umar, it makes you nervous. Like, for instance, I would never read the Quran around Umar. I'm serious. He may drag me and say, why you read the Quran like that? No, there's history like that. Surat al-Furqan, I think. What was his name? One companion, I can't remember his name, was reading Surat al-Furqan, and he said, while he was praying, and he said, I started to grab him in his prayer, but I was patient and wait till he finished, and when he finished, he said, who taught you to recite like that? He said, the Prophet. He said, no, the Prophet taught me, and grabbed him by the neck and dragged him to the Prophet. This is mutafakun alayh. This is Bukhari Muslim hadith. So this the Prophet said, let him go. What he said, I heard him reading Surat al-Furqan in a way unlike you taught me. He told him to read it, and he recited it. He said, this is the way it was recited. Now, Umar, you recited. Umar recited differently. He said, that's correct. The Quran has been revealed in seven different ways. So Umar is like this, right? He was committed, dedicated. If you know, he's straight. He don't deviate. He's straight. He's strict. Abu Bakr's different. He's soft. Umar is like rough. So Abu Huraira said, a number of the Sahabas with the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, and the Prophet, he left, went somewhere. And they got nervous. The Prophet's gone too long. So Abu Huraira went to look for the Prophet and found him. And so, to make a long story short, the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, gave Abu Huraira his sandals and said, whoever you go past this wall who you meet, who say, La ilaha illallah, will go to Jannah. So he goes. And who is the first one he run into? Umar. So Umar say, where you going? What's that in your hand? He said, it's the sandals of the Prophet. He said, the Prophet said, whoever I meet past this wall, give them the good news of them going to Jannah if they believe La ilaha illallah. You know what Umar did? Sheikh, come here for a second. Now, I love you. You know I love you, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know martial arts?
Yeah.
You do. So, if I push you, you know how to fall. I'm just messing with you. Go sit down. Get out. Umar pushed Abu Huraira on the floor. And Abu Huraira was on the verge of crying. And he says, get up and go to the Prophet, peace and blessing. Return to the Prophet. And they went to the Prophet. And Umar asked the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, did you say this? The Prophet said, yes. He said, I recommend you don't say that because the people will depend upon it. See, that's the problem. People will depend upon it. So sometimes Muslims, you know, we like this. Yo, man, I got it made. I got this thing. I got this Jannah. I got it made. Not necessarily so. Let me give you my proof and my conclusion. You know, one Imam, Abdul Latif, he's an Imam at New York University. He's a chaplain. We had a gathering of Imams, and he was asked to close out with dua. I'll never forget this. He said, Allah, Ya Allah, with your infinite mercy, we have no idea how merciful Allah is. I'm telling you, we don't. We have no idea how merciful Allah is. Give me an example. The Prophet says, I know the last person to come out of the hellfire will be a man who will come out of the hellfire crawling and stand and walk and crawl and stand and walk and crawl and stand and walk and crawl. And then he will turn to the hellfire and say, praise be to Allah who have saved me from you. Allah has given to me what he has given to nobody. This is the last person to come out of the hellfire. Allah has given to me what he has given to nobody. The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, Kitabul Iman, the book of faith. He said, Allah will say, the angels have interceded, the prophets have interceded, the believers have interceded, وَلَمْ يَبْقَى إِلَّا أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِمِينَ, and none is left but the most merciful. And then he said, Allah will take a handful of people out of hell who have never done any good, but take a handful of people out of hell who have never done any good. I need you for like 30 seconds. How many people you think that is? Allah take a handful of people out of hell, ain't never did any good. Raise your hand and tell me. What you think? 2,000? 3,000? What you think? Billion? Trillion? How do you count the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How you do it? How do you do it? How do you limit it? You think it's one or two people? You think it's thousands? You think it's millions? You think it's billions? You cannot even begin to imagine the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, I'm not going to depend upon that. I know I did some good. Inshallah, I did some good. I made salat. I make my salat every day. I did some good. But I ain't taking no chances with that. Because you reach a point where now it becomes the love of Allah and wanting to obey Him. One thing to be careful of, and then I finish. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من ستر مسلما ستر الله له في الدنيا والآخرة. Whoever covers the fault of a Muslim, Allah will cover their fault in this life and in the hereafter. You know, we think there's two sides of Allah. He's severe in punishment, but he's very merciful. Muaz, I think Ma'iz ibn Malik, was it? Ma'iz ibn Malik? The one who committed zina? Okay. He goes to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, I've committed zina. You know what the Prophet says? La'alaka qabbalta. Maybe you just kissed or winked or just touched. He said, no, I did. Do you know adultery is strong punishment but hard to prove? You need four witnesses, not three. For sure, you have to witness it. Not undercovers or anything like that. You have to witness it. It's very difficult. The Prophet said, whoever covers the fault of a Muslim, Allah will cover their fault in this life and the hereafter. I'll give you one example. 5 minutes. Can you give me five? Okay. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will judge a Muslim. But before he judges him, he covers him. So no one can see nor hear. And Allah will ask this Muslim, do you remember on such and such date you committed this sin? They'll say yes. Do you remember on such and such a date you committed that sin? Say yes. Do you remember on such and such a date you committed that sin? Do you remember on such and such a day you committed that sin? Do you remember on such and such a day that you committed that sin? And they will think that they are done. Finish. It's over. And then Allah say, I covered it for you in the dunya. I forgive you today. You did it, man. Who do you think you are? You tell me one of you who think you so pious that you ain't have no sin. You tell me one of you. I dare one of you to stand up and tell me I've never committed any sin. I dare one of you to say that. We know there's things that we've done that Allah has covered it. Even those people that do big sins, they get away with it for years and years and years. Allah covered it for them. But then when he judges the disbelievers, he don't cover them. So the whole world, billions of people witness this question about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I warn you with this hadith and then we finish. You know, brothers and sisters, you know, I love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But the Prophet didn't make himself, Allah made him. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ I have sent you as a mercy to mankind. I've sent you for that. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ It's by Allah's mercy you are lenient with them. Watch this. Do you bear witness that from time to time, the people in Jannah can see the people of hell and even talk to them? Do you bear witness to that? You unsure? The people in Jannah will look at the people in hell and say, ما سلقك في النار في السقر ما سلقك في السقر What made you in the hellfire? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِينَ We were not those who used to make salat for that young man who said, you're going to wait until you're about to die and say, La ilaha illallah. You didn't make salat. So there's many examples. I'm going to give you one example in the hadith. The Muslims in Jannah will look down in the hellfire and say, رَبَّنَا إِخْوَانَنَا كَانُوا يَسُومُونَ مَعَنَا وَيُسَلُّونَ مَعَنَا وَتَحُجُّونَ مَعَنَا Oh Allah, our brothers, they used to fast with us. They used to, make prayer with us. They used to make hajj with us. So you know what I'm thinking? Allah gonna say, you don't know what they used to do. You don't know what they did. You don't know how sincere they were. I'm thinking Allah gonna say something like that. But what does Allah say? أَخْرِجُوا مِنْهَا مَنْ أَرَفْتُمْ Take out of the hellfire those whom you recognize. This is think for a minute. What made them see those in the hellfire? How they see them? Allah made them see it. Allah knows all of this, what's going to happen. It's Allah's mercy, man. Give it to Allah. You got to be careful. The good news is that good deeds wipe out bad deeds. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثَ مَا كُنْتَ وَاتْبَعِ السَّيِّئَةَ حَسَنَةً تَمْحُوهَا Follow a bad deed by a good deed, it will wipe it out. But the bad news is that bad deeds wash out good deeds. This is what a muflis is. A muflis is one who got all those good deeds They used to make prayer, even in the masjid. They made Hajj, they made Umrah, they did all of that. But shatama hadha wa qadhafa hadha. But they backbited, they slandered this person, they beat this person, they shed the blood of that person. So you be careful that not only do good deeds, but protect them. Like a person with a bag of gold, and they got a big bag of gold, and there's a hole in the bag. And as they're walking, the gold is falling out of the bag, and they go miles and miles and miles and miles, and all of a sudden, there's no more gold. The gold is gone because it came out the bag. The salat is gone. The Hajj is gone. Well, Hajj mabrur, laysa lahu jaza'an illa jannah. An accepted pilgrimage, there's no reward except Jannah, but it's gone because of the bad deeds that we did. So, brothers and sisters, we ask Allah the Almighty to have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and help us to enter the Jannah and save us from the fire. May Allah bless you. I love you. Love the Imam. May Allah bless this masjid. Those of you who didn't give earlier for the masjid, for the upkeep of the masjid, give tonight. Honestly, give $5,000, $10,000. If you have it, Allah's bless you. You want to get some ajr from Allah? Help pay for the expenses of the masjid. I pray before you leave, you do that. Jazakallah khayr. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.